My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
I can't hold all these ladies.
Anyway, this is irrelevant. There's so many good boys.
This is my therapy, baby.
Wait, can I put forward an insane theory?
Brady Tennell gone girled herself.
I hate movies. I hate movies! Why are they like that?
Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. Welcome to Europe. How are you doing?
Oh my God, it's so different here. Right? Everything is older and bigger.
Yeah, we have so much history and most of it is deeply problematic, but deeply interesting.
We have that in common.
Anyway, you're not actually here. It's heartbreaking, but we are talking about Euros. I know it feels like that happened many years ago, but so much was happening that we had to time travel a little to cover everything.
Yeah, and it's funny because I remember last year we had a similar thing when we were like sitting down and being like, let's plan out our first few episodes ever. And oh my God, like Euros we're going to have to do so many episodes to cover Euros because so much happens. And this year we're like, maybe a mini episode probably is going to be sufficient, right? I mean, gosh, what a difference a year makes. Last year we had Javi.
Oh, don't bring it up. No, listen, the tea is I could sit you down and talk you through all 35 women who skated and everything else. I could do that. But I feel like there are things that happen that need talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes a year's experience gives you insight into, you know, things like brevity and how it is sometimes the soul of wit. I invented that just now. I think it's going to catch on.
Yeah, can you say that one more time so we have a clear take of this brand new concept?
Yes, brevity is the soul of wit.
Wow. I'm going to cross-stitch that onto a pillow.
Yeah, I think people want that. I think that's what the people want is brevity. So in the interest of my new and exciting catchphrase I just now invented, I think this is going to be a mini episode, which is something that we haven't done that much because we're not super great at brevity.
Watch this episode be 2.5 hours.
Oh my God, I know. But we're going to try. We're just going to talk about like the main things that happened as we look ahead to Worlds. You know, let's talk about what sticks in our minds from Euros. I mean, I was in North Carolina at the time, so I have to admit that I wasn't paying as close attention. But let's like chat about it. Maybe you can take the wheel because you're European.
Because I'm Jesus.
Well, you know, I bet you can probably drive better than Jesus because as far as I know, there weren't cars in ancient Nazareth. But then again, Jesus can kind of do magic.
I'm pretty sure Jesus can do anything if that's the belief system you subscribe to. I am not a great driver. I do have my license. I'm not a great driver. So I don't know if I'm a better driver than Jesus, but I will take the wheel. And we're going to talk about Euros. We're going to do... Let's do ladies first, because there was not a lot of drama, admittedly, in ladies. I think that's fair to say.
Okay, so women. Women were not that exciting.
I mean, a lot of cool stuff happened within women. A lot of really great stuff happened. It was a great event overall, but the podium was not surprising because I feel like every single time that the AAAs are present and accounted for at an event, they just end up being the podium. So I don't think we're going to talk that much about that. Just because how many times can I tell you that I hate the blue dress and I'm so relieved when it turns red, not because of the reveal, but just because it's better?
Yeah, I think, it's true. I do feel a little bit bad that Alina Kosternaya gets lumped in with that because I think that the season has shown that she's like better than the other two, but she still has the same choreography that I can't look at and cannot fully get on her hype train unless I see her do something that doesn't give me a headache to look at. So that's how I feel. And I just, you guys, it's not fun for you to listen to stuff we're not jazzed about. So like, just trust us on this one. They won again. It was good for them.
I will say there was this insane moment where the men's short program at US Nationals was happening at the exact same time as the free skate for the ladies at Euros. First of all, I missed half of that for both of them because I was at the theater seeing Fiddler on the Roof. It was beautiful and I cried a lot. But I came home just in time to watch like the tail end of both, kind of. And it was such a bizarre experience. I literally had my laptop in front of my TV trying to keep track of both of them at the same time. But when Alona got to the supermassive black hole part of her free skate, I turned up. I was kind of sitting down like, yeah, whatever, one of them's gonna win and it's gonna happen. And then that part kicks in and that's the one bit where I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm sold. I'm like completely here for this. Maybe it's just because I'm emo. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, I think she does bring like enough to the table that if it was like just her and it wasn't like all the stuff around it, it would be one thing. So anyway, but yeah, that happened. And you know, Fiddler on the Roof, talk about three young ladies who do some unexpected things.
Ooh, you know, I wrote my undergrad dissertation on Fiddler on the Roof. I could probably sit down and find a way to make parallels with figure skating if I really wanted to.
Maybe that's a bonus episode.
That's the bonus episode where we cast ice versions of musicals, because we do that a lot anyway. But swiftly moving on from the podium, I do want to talk about some other stuff that happened with the ladies. First of all, I want to shout out my girl Sasha Fagan, who was there repping Bulgaria. She skated fine.
Give us Bulgaria corner.
Yeah, so Sasha Fagan qualified for the free skate, ended up in 17th place. She skated fine. She's been getting so much more confident this season. I feel like she started off the season very, very strong, like during challengers and stuff, and then just kind of didn't have like the drive to super get to the end of it as strong as she could have. But I'm very proud of her. And I think she's on an upwards trajectory. I think she's like found what works for her. Also, she keeps winning like random sports awards back home. Like, she's like the sports ambassador of our city or something. She's on a bunch of like billboards being like, hey kids, go out and be active, like that kind of thing.
That's cool.
So she's like doing a bunch of stuff. Yeah, there's like she's on billboards sometimes, like when I'm on the subway or something, I'll see her on like an ad. I'm like, hey, that's Sasha Fagan. I'm one of the only people who really cares about this. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And she's getting noticed more and more, I think, locally as well. So that's good for us, because I think she would be more driven if she knew that this support is coming in from back home as well. So it's like a give and take. So that's exciting. I'm really hopeful. I know we had like the whole debate on reusing programs and recycling and stuff. She has been using the same programs for two seasons, and I'm really hoping we get something else from her next year, because I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I wonder if like maybe she needs new programs to grow.
Yeah, for sure, because she at this point, it's just like, there she goes, she's doing the thing. And it's not like, I mean, it's not the most exciting selections. Some choices have been made there. But anyway, that's Bulgaria corner for the ladies.
Alexia was good.
Oh my god. Alexia Paganini, legend, tycoon, and star. She delivered so hard. She showed up. She stood her own. She ended up in fourth. Just very solid, good skating. If the AAAs were not doing the insane shit they do, she just performed really good. I really like her. I enjoy her entire vibe. She always looks beautiful in a solid color. And I was kind of surprised, because I don't know who else I would have predicted like top six, because I wouldn't know. Like, I knew the podium and I wouldn't know what would have happened after. I was super thrilled with the way she performed. I really hope she carries that energy through. I believe she's doing worlds.
She must be.
She must. She has. Oh, she simply must. But yeah, I'm excited. I think that was like a good, I'm not going to say confidence boost, because that sounds condescending. It's just like, it's a good confirmation of her skill that she showed up to Euros and she stood her ground so solidly.
It's really interesting to me that in the ladies' field in Europe, it's not just that the 3A win everything as they always do this season. It's that the gap between Russian skating and every other European fed skating is so big that like the fourth place finisher can be somebody who like doesn't always even break top six in like a world setting.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. I agree. I think it's because, well, in general, when you look at Europe, Russia is the one country where figure skating is still like a very huge tradition and like very supported and has a huge following and this entire drive behind it and federation support and all of that. And the rest of it is a lot of smaller Central European countries that are doing their best. But it's, of course, like a matter of funding and interest. And I think, surprisingly, despite our bid for, you know, Europe being so much older than the US or whatever, a lot of those countries don't really have a tradition in solidly supporting figure skating as an activity. I think it's a lot of, like, countries that produce one Olympic hope per 4 years, and everyone kind of stands that person, and then that's kind of it. And I wonder what the conversation should be in order for that to change.
I also think, too, in the cases of many individual countries, it's kind of a rebuilding time.
Oh, for sure.
As far, like, Italy, for example, is a country that I think of as having a really strong skating tradition. But right now it's like Carolina Costner is, I don't know if she's ever officially retired.
No, she's not.
Yeah, but she hasn't competed in a few years. And then you have all these young, junior-ish age Italian lady skaters who are just sort of like not quite there yet, but you can tell they will be.
Yeah.
And there's nobody really like in the middle in their like solid prime in the seniors right now. Mm-hmm. And likewise in France, like, obviously we should talk about Mae Bérénice.
Of course, always.
But there's also, like, Laurine, who wasn't there, but who also probably could have put up a, you know, a pretty good fight.
Yeah. And Léa Serna, who we did talk about briefly during IDF, because she is also pretty good.
Yeah, I would put her with those, like, Italian ladies
for
the most part, with somebody who I think in a couple years is going to be, like, really a threat.
Of course, yeah. Also, it's interesting because a lot of those girls train in Russia as well. Like, a lot of... Well, not only former USSR countries, but just, like, across the board. The ones who are not in, like, Toronto are in Russia, most of them. Or working with Russian coaches. So it's, like, this interesting balance of the monopoly that a bunch of countries have on the entire continent, which makes this kind of uneven. But as far as individuals go, like, there was a lot of great performances. I'm looking at the top six right now, top 10 even. Obviously, Katia Kurakova for Poland.
She is so
wonderful.
Cute.
She keeps
a cricket girl, right?
She is a cricket girl, and she keeps getting fucking robbed on PCS so hard.
No shit.
Yeah.
She's so good.
She's so good, and she is precious and charming and incredibly skilled. And for some insane reason, she keeps getting the PCS of, like, a novice top six skater, and I don't know why.
It's gotta just be that she's new. Like, I have to hope that as the years progress and she's been on the scene longer, that they'll start to take notice. And, like, I know as far as technical stuff, she has these a bunch of little under rotation things or what have you, and I'm like, well, then don't punish her performance skills for that.
No, she's, like, one of those incredibly just skilled skaters. But yeah, who else? I love Emmy Peltonen, always. She is so beautiful. Looks like Tinkerbell, and she skated really well. She ended up fifth.
Ryabova,
yeah,
Azerbaijan. She's, like, the opposite in that I think she's got this, like, a really, really good tech foundation, but just it needs to, like, polish the performance side quite a bit more.
Yeah, I think with her as well, it's just, like, the exposure and just, like, doing it and doing it and doing it. She made her international debut, like, last year, like, 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years ago, 2018, 2019. So I think with showing up and getting the experience of being on the international stage, she could be really good. Also, she's one of the many who... she trains in Moscow as well, so.
Yeah, she doesn't, isn't her coach, it's not Plushenko.
Yeah, she's
it?
A Plushenko girl.
She's, like, the Plushenko girl, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's the one who's doing it.
Yeah, so it's, like, the same thing that we were just talking about. The Russian school just, like, taking care of a lot of the rest of them.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, how while, like, the 3A and Russian skating in general really are pushing the sport forward on a world stage. Within Europe, it also is just a very open field.
It is.
I'm almost surprised that, I mean, I get it. I get using Euros as a stage where you can have, like, Anna and Sasha practice just throw as many insane jumps at the wall and just hope something sticks.
Yeah.
Just for, like, worlds. But also, they super didn't have to. And that's what I find interesting. Like, I think if any of them had just done one or two quads, they would have been fine. It's like how you know, Nathan didn't do every quad in his arsenal for U.S. Nationals because he didn't have to. It's interesting that they don't scale, because they, within, I guess, the three of them, they are each other's competition always, so they never really scale to,
yeah,
to
I the feel rest like of the world. I feel like we look at them as a unit, but between the three of them, I'm sure it really matters. So that's who you're competing against, even though they're, like, obviously friends and teammates and all of that. I think the reason they don't scale is because Aliona and Anna ended up with, like, under 3 points difference. So between them, I'm sure it matters more.
I'm very fascinated by the fact that Sasha has not come out on top.
Yeah, I know, right?
At all. In some ways, I'm relieved because I was really worried that she was going to, you know, everybody was going to be like, look at her beautiful artistry. And I was just going to be gaslit for a whole season. But on the other hand, I kind of respect her because I'm like, she's the only one who's like just doing what they're all kind of doing, but she's just being very honest about it and being like, nope, just jumping.
Just jump. I'm just here to jump.
No skate, only jump.
It was kind of chaotic. Her free skate, it was up and down because obviously she takes huge risks, but whether or not they pay off is a whole other story. But anyway, with the three of them, it's obviously like a process of growing. I am cautiously excited to see. I'm not looking, like, Worlds is going to happen one way or another. I'm interested about next season, and I know it's early to talk about it, but I wonder what happens once the initial hype of, oh my god, look at those three, they're like, they've shown up and they're doing it. I wonder what happens when our worldview can't be shaped by that, because we've known what they're capable of for a season. Because a lot of, I'm not saying we're all being like Munchausen'd into believing anything about their skating, but I do think that there is like this thing, like I've said before, if you're a person who's never seen skating before and I say, hey Megan, there's those three girls, they're incredible, they do things that no one else does, they're going to win, here's the three of them, watch them skate, that gives you a certain expectation. Next year we're gonna be coming into it with, oh yeah, they've been doing this, so what's next?
Yeah, and I think I'm already seeing just from the ISU agenda items for their big, like, kiki or whatever you call it. It's not that for sure, but I don't know what it is.
It's for sure a kiki.
It's for sure the kiki. They are discussing raising the age limit. They won't. They are discussing, you know, should there be artistic versus athletic programs? Should there be, I mean, it seems like the conversation is already, like, the, you can sense that the wind is blowing such that, like, there has been backlash.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not backlash as much as it's like, the sport has to be interesting in a way that needs to be, not regulated, but produced. Like, you gotta story produce the events in a way where the audience is not going in with, oh, we're gonna watch 37 people, we're gonna watch 34 people skate so we can at the end get to the treat, which is the top three. There has to be something that's different. And I wonder, this is my smooth transition, I wonder what makes it so different from the men, where we went in with barely any predictions, and whatever the fuck predictions we had were in flames by the end of the short programs.
Did you not want to talk about May Berenice?
I do. I think we like kind of, we kind of got there and then we got distracted. Let's talk about her. She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's someone who gets robbed on PCS all the time, and it makes me so angry I could just bash my head against a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you don't see that she's like the most charismatic person on the ice, but
she is, and it was good at Euros to see that the audience was super like responding to her performance as well. Her programs this year work for her so well that it's so hard to try to convince a panel of judges or an audience at home that it doesn't work, just because, especially with her Masquinada program, the second it starts, everyone's just buying into it and everyone's hype for it. And it's so hard to look at the score and be like, oh, they think it was bad. Okay, I guess it was bad. Because it was obviously not.
Yeah, it's when you contrast that with the 3A or whoever, it's, that's when it gets confusing, I think, for a lot of viewers, both casual and non.
Yeah, for sure.
Not technically, but you know.
Well, yeah, obviously, like, we're not gonna sit here and claim that she skated, like, super, super, super clean technically or anything, but there's this rift in PCS, and there's this huge gap that I'm not sure how we could rectify, except to, like, hope that people can draw their own conclusions to cite from where people place. And she did have a top 10 finish. She ended up 9th, which is awesome.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how Jason Brown can consistently place on this podium just, like, purely on the quality of his skating. And that just can't happen for women because PCS isn't factored as high.
Yep.
Like, that's why he can do that. With women, there's no woman who can Jason Brown their way to a podium if the 3A are there. And that's not fair.
Yeah. But the other thing is that also, like, a lot of the guys are throwing a lot of mediocre quads. So I guess there is, like, that leveling as well of, that's like... True. A lot of them are going to try a quad and a lot of them are going to fail, but also, like, that leaves the door open for someone who's technically perfect and is going on with just triple triples.
I bet we see that more in the coming years too, because now I think of, as I try to like list off in my head all of the ladies who have either a quad or a 3A, at least in their layout, if not in their actual arsenal of like consistency, it's like I can't hold all these ladies, you know? So I'm like, it's, as the list gets longer, that probably might happen more too.
It's interesting that I think people have not genetically been modified in the past 2 years to suddenly be able to do this. I think quads and ladies and more people trying triple axels and all of that was just a matter of permission, of just like this like metaphorical, like psychological dam breaking where a bunch of them tried it and a bunch of people who are very capable jumpers when it comes to triples were like, you know what? So-and-so is doing it, so I might as well try, and it may work. And it's so close to working for so many of them that you're right, this is going to end up being, like, a whole new conversation with the ladies, more similarly to the guys as well, I think.
Yeah. Do you want to do, like, a really quick break?
Yeah.
Talk about men?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, this episode is flying by.
It's a mini episode.
It's a mini, it's so cute.
It's my precious baby.
Jesus Christ, this is break.
That's disgusting. Okay, welcome to the break. You know what to do. You know you want to enter our sticker contest. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a nice review. Talk to your friends about us on social media. And then tell us you did those things. And maybe you'll win a sticker.
Yes. Also, I suspect we have a bunch of new people listening. Because Four Continents has been happening and we've been chatting with a lot of y'all, so welcome on board. If this is your first episode, hi, welcome. So glad to have you here. This is a chaotic one, but we're having fun with it. Also, Patreon is a thing. Megan, what's Patreon?
Patreon is our treehouse that you're only allowed in if you give us money.
we're bullies. We ask you for your lunch money and then we let you into the treehouse.
Yeah, you know that trope that exists prior to a minute ago when I said it. Patreon is a website where you go and you can give us a small amount of money per month, and depending on how much money you give us, you get different levels of treats. So for $1 per month, you get your shout out at the end of the episode, which we will do. For $5 a month, you get bonus content that sort of shifts around. Sometimes it's a blooper reel, sometimes it's a bonus episode. It's sort of the middle of the road. And then the $7 tier always gets all those things and a bonus episode every month. And our bonus episodes are usually like tangentially related to skating, but are a little more off the rails and goofy.
So go to patreon.com/icedpod if you want to get in on that. And the ones of you who do, you guys know, you make this podcast possible. Quite literally. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, if you want to do that, it's patreon.com/icedpod.
Woo!
Cool. All right, so let's talk about men. Men was way more chaotic.
Men was profoundly chaotic in a way which made me so thrilled, not because of anyone's personal individual failures or successes, but because all of us went into this Euros for the men with a huge gap in our hearts and with a Spanish flag which we raised up for the sole purpose of crying under it. Everyone was missing Javi. It was insane to imagine that someone else would win. I saw a tweet going around, which was like the screen cap from Wikipedia with like the defending champions for Euros. And it was like defending champion Javier Fernandez. And then it was like, this is your last day where you can retweet this and it's going to be factual. And that was insane. But the boys delivered. They were like, you know what? You want drama? Well, you got it now.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing going in was a lot of people were predicting that the new European champion was going to be Kevin Amaz of France. And something completely unexpected happened, which is that his short program did not go good at all.
His short program. The thing about a short program is there's so little margin of error. In a free skate, you can pop a jump. You can fall like once and still pull through.
You can get partial credit.
You can get partial. It was honestly upsetting to watch.
It was really upsetting to watch because it's such a lit program too. Like,
and you could tell he was fighting so hard for it. It was kind of insane. It felt like, I don't want to over-exaggerate and be like, it was a nightmare or whatever. I'm sure it was for him. It felt like when we indulge in chaos predictions, like, I think we did it last year before Worlds and stuff, just being like, oh yeah, imagine if Larry Lopulover from Bulgaria ends up winning. It felt so, I was watching it, and I could not believe my eyes. Because, like, the first jump did not happen. And I was like, you know what? Maybe the next one. And then it didn't. And I was like, maybe the next one. And it just kept falling apart in such an upsetting way.
I got the same feeling watching that I got the few times in my life where I've ever witnessed a traffic accident. Like, a really dramatic one where a semi-truck tips over. And for a minute, the thing that's happening is so dissonant with your conception of how objects interact with gravity that there's a split second where you're like, am I dreaming? Am I dreaming? This isn't right.
You keep waiting for like the Inception thing to like stop spinning.
Yeah, or like to realize that you're like, your eyes are just have a weird like floater things happening and you're just seeing things wrong. And it's hard because he's probably one of the most expressive skaters when it comes to wearing his heart on his sleeve about how he feels about the performance. And so for him to have a bad skate is equally heartbreaking because he's not like a stiff upper lip guy. He's like a, oh no, this is, we're all just putting it out there kind of guy. And I am not saying that that's bad. I think men should be able to express their emotions, but it's hard when those emotions are sad and you're an empathetic person. It's hard to see.
My grandma texted me while it was happening. She was like, here's Kevin. And then a second later, she texted me. She's like, I hope he doesn't cry this time. I was like, aww. Oh, grandma. Yes, he will.
He'll cry either way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Honestly, we've done this in several episodes already because the world's garbage. It can't go without saying that the team he works with has been working on other stuff, which is why I'm not going to make a claim that his coach is being involved and implicated in a lot of garbage bullshit influenced his skating. I will say it couldn't have helped. I'm not saying that to excuse him or to blame them. It just feels like it doesn't feel honest to talk about his performance and not acknowledge everything that's been happening around it.
No, totally. Yeah, and it was like, that was also part of why it was so difficult, I think, was because it when it starts to also then, I don't know, it's hard to talk about, right? I mean, it's bad enough, and then also it starts to, like, affect athletes, but that's not the worst part of it, so it's like, I don't want to say that.
In the long run,
someone having a bad skate is not the worst consequence of that, but
it's like the bottom of the list of consequences.
Of course, yeah.
But still, just the impact of the entire situation, I don't know how to talk about it. I also don't know what his comeback is going to look like. I hope it's glorious and we get back like the skating that we expect from him and that so many people place their predictions on. Because as far as we know, it's what he deserves. And I'm hopeful for it.
Yeah, and it needs to be said that he didn't make the free skate. Like, he missed the cutoff for the free skate. Like, that's how unfortunate the skate was. And it was to the point where, like, it never even crossed anyone's minds that he wouldn't make the free skate. So I saw a lot of encouragement for him on social media. Like, you'll get him tomorrow. You'll get him tomorrow. Like, people did not even, it did not even occur to them that he's not even going to skate tomorrow. He didn't even make it.
Yeah. That was like the insane part, is because there was like 35 people skating, and obviously only 24 qualify. Like I said, after the first jump pass, which was not good, I was like, yeah, whatever. He needs top 24. Of course he's going to do that. We've seen him skate messy and still be fine, which is why it was so insane when it fell apart so much. Honestly, such an insane situation that I do not think there was a single human being who makes predictions about those kinds of things who could have been like, oh yeah, Imaz is not even going to make the free skate. That's an insane thing to say. It's crazy, though, because we had just had a conversation about day of versus body of work, like, the day before the short programs, and yeah. Then the skate happened, and I was like, holy shit, this is the universe just, like, looking down on us and being like, you want to talk about day of? Watch this. I'm not saying we caused this. I'm not saying we asked the universe for it. I'm just saying we're mildly entangled in this.
Well, we are influencers, so.
Yeah, we've influenced the universe. But yeah, I hope we get the comeback that his narrative deserves. And I do hope that his narrative is separated from everything that his team has been involved in. I don't know what that looks like for him. I also, you know, hope he's been on the right side of history for that. I'm just going to say that because we've talked about it enough and I don't want to be a downer, but it would suck to have to unstand, you know?
It really would. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with all of that for sure. So let's talk about the other big shocker of the yes! program, which was a much more pleasant surprise. The Breznesans continues.
The Breznesans! I am riveted. First of all, Mikhail Brezhina ended up in seventh, which is fine. He won the short program.
He won it.
He won the short program. He showed up. He skated so good. Undeniable. Charismatic. Technically good. Incredible. And just, it was this insane thing of just, he kept being in the lead. And he kept being in the lead. And at some point you're like, holy shit, he's gonna win this. And then he did.
It was like an international holiday. His short program is like wild because it's really very sexy, but also he's kind of dressed like a Five Guys waiter. Both are true in a way that I don't know if I'm comfortable with, but that's where I'm at.
But a sexy Five Guys waiter is not your kink.
Now I don't know.
Maybe now it is.
Well, listen. I like that his entire short program, he's got a couple of different vibes when he skates. And one of them is like corny dad. And like, that's fine. I like the one where it's like, he's just like very relaxed. And yeah. It's like, it's not, yeah, there's no franticness. It's like, I've been doing this for a million years. I just go out and I skate really nice and I'm not even nervous. And look at, I'm just naturally amazing. I mean, it's not natural. It's years and years and years of hard work plus five road to perfection, never settle for less.
Yes. He has the vibe of when you go to open skate and it's just like a bunch of, you know, teenagers having fun and a bunch of girls who are trying very hard and a bunch of hockey skaters, and then someone shows up by themselves, just puts on a pair of skates that look like they've been owned for a couple years, and then they proceed to just like stroke, but in a way which tells you that they know exactly what they're doing.
But it's, yeah, it's understated because under that subcategory of like dudes at your rink, there's like the ones that are old and like want you to be watching them so they give you advice.
No.
But then there's like the one you're referring to that I think that Mikhail Brezhina embodies is the guy who's just there for himself. He's there to skate for himself. If you're watching, that's fine. But he's like, oh, other people are here. I'm just here to like tear it up because this is my therapy, baby.
Yep.
Sidebar, do go to therapy if you need it. Ice skating is not the same as cognitive therapy. Behavioral therapy.
Deeply not
I therapy. I do both. And I think that that's working for me.
But. I don't. And I think it would.
You go. Yeah, two sides of the same argument.
Yeah, there was this insane moment, moving on from Michał, whom we love. So I'm looking at a picture of him on my wall as we speak.
Wait, before we move on, has he said anything that implies that he's not coming back? Because I feel like he kind of has.
Gave this cryptic interview after the short program in which he was like, I am not going to announce whenever I'm done, but I will know when it's bye-bye. He said the phrase when it's bye-bye, which is so funny to me. It continues to feel the way it felt last year, where it feels like he does have another season in him, but whether or not he wants it, I'm not sure if he knows yet.
First Time Parenthood is exhausting. Yeah. And so I would like to see what he thinks after he like experiences what it's like to have an infant. And I say this as though I have
experienced this myself, and I haven't. I was about to say you sound like you have three children.
I do sound like I have three children. No, but I do have three nieces. So valid. I've seen what it does to people.
Actually, I know a child. After the short program, it sounded very much like he was like, yeah, I may or may not. I don't know. And then in the free, obviously, like, the pressure kind of got to him. He didn't have the best skate of his career there. But the Virginia Sounds is still very much alive and well and happening.
See, I thought I saw him say on Instagram or something, like, well, that's not the best way I wanted to end things. But maybe he just meant the Euros competition.
Yeah.
And also, maybe he didn't say that. I don't know. They all say the same thing on Instagram every day, so.
Yeah, I feel like he might leave us in retirement limbo. For a while.
Yeah, well, the fact that he can still pull this out means that he certainly doesn't have to retire. His presence is so important in the men's field. Correct. Because he brings that grounded energy that I think comes with that level of experience.
Speaking of experience, there was this deeply insane moment where people kept skating and skating and skating, and the top three kept being Michał Brzezina, Paul Fendt, Alexei Bichenko.
Oh yeah,
which was beautiful and triumphant because we like to talk about like the young boys who show up and blah 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 blah, but the three most experienced guys in this field showed up and skated good, just skated good, solid, confident programs, worked out for some of them more than others. But there was this like deeply insane moment like going into the last groups where it was like, oh, this is still the top three. We're going into like the second to last group, and this is still the top three we're looking at. So that was very exciting. I do love Bichenko's, well, both of his programs. Unironically love his Pirates of the Caribbean so much, but his short is so dramatic.
It is.
It's a Eurovision song, actually.
Eurovision and ice skating go together. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know, what's a European thing that goes together well?
Like a good beer and some meats in a sauce.
Yeah, like that. And also, I want to say, look, Paul Fendt's skating is not my cup of tea personally, because he does this thing that for me feels very like old school male skating, where he just like is very ramrod straight up and down and doesn't seem to really like know how to like move his shoulders or, you know, like when you know men that just like don't understand that their hips and their shoulders have any sort of isolated movement capabilities. Yeah. But I still was like, damn, anytime an athlete comes in and you don't expect them to do something and then they are in first place for like three groups, it's still exciting.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Real quick, I gotta do Bulgarian corner for the guys as well. Representing Bulgaria was Larry Lapulover, who is, well, technically American.
That's the most insane name I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, he's fascinating to me because he was born in Brooklyn. Then he represented Azerbaijan. And then for some reason now represents Bulgaria. I am not sure why, but I'm also not questioning it because he's great. He's very chaotic. His short program looks like it came out of Alexander Samarin's dreams. It's a Joker program, which is basically identical to Samarin's exhibition without the Black Eyed Peas. It's like the same ooky spooky smile and the Joker theme. But he skates it in like head to toe purple. He has gloves that are bedazzled in a way where when he puts his hands up, it looks like he's smiling.
Oh, shit.
It's a whole deal. And I don't want to be proud that this is what's representing my country, but I really am.
Well, it's like old school Joker. I mean, Joker's an iconic character. Yeah. Just because the most recent one is a flaming garbage heap.
Well, yeah. There has been a lot of problematic Jokers in the past.
That's true.
And then his free skate is a medley of the Doors and Red Hot Chili Peppers. I gotta
understand. It's like my dad's worst nightmare.
I'm half super there for it because I love the Doors. I'm not super into Red Hot Chili Peppers. So that was like questionable. But it's like this EDM club remix of Riders on the Storm and Strange.
Oh my God.
I don't know how or why or who made this choice. But I'm proud that this Brooklyn-born man is representing my country.
I just feel like, you know, I would so much rather see these big swings being made than like...
in the shirt.
Yeah, just take these weird risks because at the very least, I can sit there and question my own sanity, which is so much more entertaining for me than being a little bored for 6 minutes.
Agreed. With him, I had this experience where, especially after the short program, I was on Twitter and I kept seeing people like retweet a Getty Images set of pictures because everyone was like, oh my God, what the fuck is this costume? And it was like, he ended up 23rd out of 24 skaters. We wouldn't have had a conversation in the Twitter sphere about him if he wasn't making very odd, like, out there choices.
Yeah, you gotta make a splash.
He has a quad lutz. He landed the first quad of the short program, like, halfway through, like, one of the first groups. I did not know we had a Bulgarian skater with any quads. And he just,
aside
like,
from you.
Well, aside from me, obviously. No, but seriously, this kid has a quad lutz. Real quick, Nikolai Mayorov placed 15th, did his older brother proud. Megan, did you see this? I'm not sure how much of this you got an honest chance to see. He has an Addams Family program, which would do his brother so proud.
It's the Mayorov way.
He skates in a full old school Technicolor Gomez Addams costume.
Oh my gosh.
It's unironically.
I've got to go watch this.
Unironically outstanding. It's great. Let's talk about some top boys, because there was a lot. Like the top 10 got tier. Sasha Samarin did not have a great time.
He didn't. He really didn't. And that was another surprise.
Yeah.
It's not that he's like a beacon of consistency, but, you know, I mean, one expects this person who earlier this year really gave Nathan a run for his money in the short program in the IDF. And then, you know, you just expect something better than what happened.
I think he peaked a little early for his liking and his season, to be honest, because he was doing so good and so good and so good. And then, like, by the time we got to Euros, he was just kind of tired, which was sad. But right. Top 10 finish, you know, not the best, not what I would expect. I'm kind of sad. Honestly, not gonna lie, I'm kind of sad about it.
I was, like, very prepared to see Jackie Wong and also, like, low-key myself be a little up in arms for the 900th time over Samarin getting PCS that were even remotely close to Kevin's, and, like, that none of that ended up even...
None of that happened.
...being... close to the narrative that we got.
Which is exciting and keeps us on our toes. Okay, who else? Vladimir Litvinov for Azerbaijan ended up at 9.
I love him. He's Barbie Prince from last year.
He is. And he's grown up a lot in terms of presentation. He also did super good because he was way down. He was 17th in the short and then ended up with a top 10 finish. Megan, in 6th, we have the Chaos Prince himself, Denis Vasilievs.
I was so proud of Denis.
I know.
And it's tough because it seems like Denis thrives the most when he doesn't have an insanely super hard layout. And mm-hmm. So what do? You want to push the kid, but you don't want him to get in his own head. It's like, this was the most scaled back we've seen him. I don't think he tried any quads, right, at any point?
Yeah, no.
And he did fantastic, and you just let the PCS shine through. So it's been really fascinating to watch him and Stefan, and I guess the team at Champéry, try and figure out what exactly is the winning formula for Denis.
Yeah, like the equation of it, because... oh God, when he's good, he's so good. And he's good when he is not psyching himself out. It's like the whole conversation of, at some point, the math is just not going to add up. Like, I'm sure he could go out and skate a gorgeous program with just doubles, but that's just not going
to
work out.
Yeah, but I was so pleased to see it because he just way too frequently gets swept under the rug mm-hmm. in terms of, like, very serious conversations of who's a contender. And it's like, he's a fan favorite, but is he a threat? And I always love it when he can kind of be both.
Yeah, I think also it's because, like, I don't know, I feel like there's a contingent of us, of, like, fans who think of him and think of yellow pants and, like, chaotic music choices. And he is that, but he's also a very, very skilled performer and a very good athlete who has shown time and time again that he can show up and deliver. So I hope we get more of that. I hope they've worked out or are closer to working out, like, the equation of where he's pushed, but also not so pushed that he, like, ends up crumbling under that pressure, I guess.
I wonder, too, how having Shoma around will affect him now that Shoma's a training mate of his.
Yeah.
And I have a vague memory of Stefan sort of talking about this, sort of the other people at the rink seeing Shoma do really difficult elements and feeling some type of way about it. I wonder about that with Koshiro and Dennis. Yeah, like whether having Shoma around will push them or intimidate them.
I don't know their personal psychology, but I guess that, like, goes back to what I was saying with the girls on a worldwide scale. I guess you could apply the same thing on, like, a smaller scale, which just the being around someone who's doing all the hard stuff and just seeing it be done, like, day in, day out. It could be like, well, might as well try that, I guess. Especially in, like, a training environment where the whole point is to figure it out.
Yeah, well, and hopefully, you know, again, I hate being like, well, that'll be a confidence boost because that's a condescending thing to say. But hopefully it is. I mean, you know, Six Place of Heroes ain't nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, agreed. All right, gonna move on. Fourth and fifth place, Italy. Matteo and Daniel just showed up, fought very hard, ended up in fourth and fifth. Kind of up and down. Daniel... He ended up in fourth, but he was second in the free skate because he had a rocky short. Everyone had a rocky short, to be honest. He had a rocky short, and then he skated really, really, really good in the free.
Daniel is consistently one of those skaters who's a free skate boy. Like, he's just, he always thrives in the free skate. And I really, really love his short program this season. I think that Mozart is
beautiful,
incredible. But just for whatever reason, the free skate is doing it more for him. He got a new costume. It's no longer
good for him.
The weird, like, holes phobia situation. Wait, also, remember when he gave that interview after Euros where he's like, this program is about finding your dead wife?
What?
Wait, let me find this. Give me one second. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Hold on. I just had to Google Daniel Grassel dead wife. Okay, wait, I can't stop laughing. Okay, he was in the interview zone, like, right after, and he was like, the story of his free program is this. My free skating is to single man, and I'm a single man, searching for my wife, and there is the accident. I see my wife dead in a crash, and after that, I'm skating for her.
Benoit.
My boy, my man, like, who hurt you? What happened? What is going on with the stories behind these programs this season?
Also, that's very much not the plot of the movie Single Man.
Wait, can I put forward an insane theory?
Yes.
What if... Because I'm thinking, okay, we've seen a lot of Benoit programs. Are they all in the expanded universe? Of course they are. What if the wife isn't really dead? She just faked her own death, and now she's off having an amazing time on the town, and that's Brady's short program.
Love that. She gone girled herself.
Brady Tennell gone girled herself, and that's the short program.
At this point of the recording, we paused so I could read Megan the entire plot of the movie A Single Man. We're gonna cut to the end of that right here. Yeah, so none of this is about a dead wife and a car accident. I mean, it is about a car accident, kind of. None of it is about a dead wife.
I feel like maybe Benoit said, like, this is about a dead husband, but if it makes you more comfortable, you can skate about a woman. And Daniel was like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, Daniel, I know you're, like, 5 years old. Here's this very sad story about dysfunctional middle-aged people who want to die, but it's fine if it's not homo, right?
Sometimes Benoit makes me think, like, he reminds me of somebody, and this, I know how you're gonna respond to this. He reminds me of somebody who wants to do, like, really dark angsty shit, but their only career opportunity right now is to work with children.
Yeah, I feel seen and understood.
I knew you would. Great.
Okay, let's move on. Matteo Rizzo ended up in fifth under Daniel's single man.
I was very surprised neither of them made it to the podium. To be honest, I would have bet the farm that one of them would.
I feel like even all the way back in like August, I was like, oh yeah, Euros is going to be like between Matteo and Kevin. And did not happen.
Well, I guess I thought last year seeing Matteo in the bronze position, I just was like, oh, he's going to be on the podium for Euros every year of his career now. But, you know.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like a given. He was seventh in the short program, fifth in the free, and just didn't work out. I'm still upset at everyone for bullying him out of his yellow turtleneck. I feel like if he were wearing yellow, he would have podiumed.
That's definitely a take.
No one at me.
I miss his queen program so much. I just think that it served him well in a way that nothing has since.
Yeah, I hope he discovers what that is looking forward into next season. Because I think his programs this year were fun. I think he needs the hype of that Queen medley to come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Megan, podium?
Yes. In third place, in winner of the bronze medal, is my Georgian boyfriend, Moris Ikvitalishvili.
Talk to me about your Georgian boyfriend's performance.
My Georgian boyfriend skated so good. I am so proud of him. He just showed up and you know what he did? He showed up and he just skated to the best of his ability. And it happened to work out for him, given the circumstances of everyone else's skating.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, life-changing, but he skated good and mostly clean. He was fourth in the short, and then he pulled through to bag himself a medal.
That's, like, the bronze medal way, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'm so proud of him. I don't think he expected this.
No, I continue to think that Morrissey's skating is really skillful and maybe just, for whatever reason, does not hold my attention as well as some of the other guys, but doesn't repulse me either.
Yeah.
I'm on the more positive end of neutral on Morrissey, and I'm happy for him.
I know, I've been doing this bit since October where he's my boyfriend, but it's because I was completely neutral on him until I saw him live. And then for some reason, I just decided that I have no choice but to stan. It wasn't a conscious choice. I was just like, yep, we're doing this. I think it was because there was like a lull during IDF where I was the only person cheered out for him. And then I was like, you know what? This is who I am now.
I think it takes a lot of skill in order to make Sambo choreography look like it's not wearing you, like you're wearing it. Yeah. And so even though he's maybe not like transcending it the way that somebody like Koster Nayad sort of even remotely does, he is not drowning in it. And mm-hmm. That is honestly like a Herculean task in and of itself.
I want to read you an excerpt from his Instagram post after winning. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. First of all, it's charming because he clearly like Google translated parts of it or something. He first of all thanks like everyone who's ever talked to him. At the end he goes, thank you to my spectators, fans, not fans, and my friends. I know you're always with me. Doesn't matter if it was for achievement or fault. Then he says, I really appreciate. Doesn't say what he appreciates, but he says, I really appreciate. You are my power and my motivation. And then he goes, this medal is very important for me. Thank you. And I was like, oh, baby. He seems so really thrilled sweet. With it. He thanked like every single person, like coaches and parents and relatives and the federation and blah, blah, blah. The minister of sport, the National Olympic Committee.
Like, I would like to thank Alois Lutz and Werner Rittberger and... Oh my god.
I'm sorry, this has broken me. If I ever win anything, I'm just gonna list. Like, I wanna thank Denise Bielman. I did not do a Bielman, but just I just wanna thank
her. I wanna thank Ina Bauer.
That's so funny. So anyway, Artur Danielian ended up in second. He is such a precious child. He is so little.
But he's so fiery. You know what I mean? Like he gets on ice and he's like one of those
It was so funny in the last group when they would come out to warm up and he looked like someone's younger brother who just like happened to be there.
He really is like it's like when you're having a party with your friends and their mom's like, let your brother play video games with you guys, and then the Bud brother comes in and just kicks everyone's ass.
Yeah, because it's like the one thing he does like all day.
It's like, I've been preparing for this moment. Well, I've been that younger sibling.
He's actually 16. He's not even that young, but he just looks young, I guess.
16 for boys is an extremely wide net of what you can possibly look like. It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, so he looks loving. But he skated super good. It's one of those cases where honestly it was just math working out for him. He won the silver medal with 0.03.
Damn.
He was third in the short program, fourth in the free, switching with Morrissey, and it ended up so very close. There's just like math.
His case reminded me a little bit of Yuma Kageyama's in the Japanese field, where he's this really promising junior and he's up in this incredibly deep field of older guys and you expect him to be, you know, the future and you expect him to peak in like a few years and then he gets on a podium now.
And he's like, surprised. Oh, that was fast. Yep.
Yeah. The future is now.
The future is now. So that's thrilling. And I'm sure it was like an insane achievement for him because I don't know how many people could have predicted it. And again, it came down to such tiny, tiny, tiny math, but it's exciting and I'm very thrilled that we're seeing young, interesting talent out of Russia. Speaking of Russia, though, with not a tiny, tiny margin, by 26.15 points, for the first time in 8 years, we have a new European champion.
We do, and it is the one and only Dmitry Aliyev.
Our boy Dima Aliyev. I'm so proud of him.
I am not going to lie. I almost just teared up thinking about
I have how, tears in my eyes.
Like, he was laid so low at the Grand Prix final. Like, it was one of the hardest skates to watch I have ever seen. Uh-huh. And, like, he had no idea that he would, in just a matter of months, he was going to go on to be his own national champion and then the European champion. That's the kind of story that you, no, it doesn't matter what sport it is. It doesn't even matter if it's a sport. Like, that's a narrative that is a very human, inspiring thing. That's why people watch sports.
Yeah, it's not even months. It was, like, literally a month.
It was just months singular.
He just came to Jesus, like, real quick. Yeah, I'm just very proud of him. I think he's had such an insane season. It's been up and down and just completely crazy.
He must be so tired.
Must be completely drained, but he's going to Worlds.
He just went out there like he owned it. You know what I mean? He came out with this sense of like, this is my ice, watch me go.
Also, both of his programs continue to slap so hard.
I almost feel like he's now starting to believe how hard they slap. When I think back to when I first saw them in like the Challenger series mm-hmm. to now, his investment and his like understanding of these programs has grown so much that it's like he really is that, you know, Mozart. I mean, not that Mozart was a prince, but it's you know, his costume and everything is like Prince Mozart.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he also really is like an angsty, what is the character for the, it's just an angsty boy.
Yeah, it's just the angsty boy.
He gets both of them. They're distinct. He understands it. He presents it. It's gorgeous.
I'm thrilled. I know we all had separation anxiety about changing our reigning European champion. The first year Javi won 2012-2013, he was fourth at the Grand Prix final that year, and then he ended up winning Euros, and then he ended up winning Euros, and then he ended up winning Euros, etc. I know it's like this, people always go back to like Javi's growth, like through Worlds and Euros, because he has this story of, you know, being 28th at Euros, and then 17th, and then like blah blah blah, and then, you know, ending up with a career he had. It is thrilling for me that within like a month, I'm not saying that Dima's gonna have 7 consecutive European championships. I'm not saying that. But it's thrilling for me to see like the same kind of perseverance and like turnaround so quickly from his struggle at the Grand Prix final to this very triumphant win.
It is. And I want to say that I think there's something about both Euros and Four Continents, which of course we'll talk about next time. Without getting into Four Continents, I think that these two competitions, for whatever reason, are so chaotic and mm-hmm. unpredictable in a way that for some reason Worlds doesn't feel like, and for some reason the Grand Prix series doesn't feel like. I mean, it's, of course, you could say the men's field has been predictable in that Javi was the champion multiple times, but I didn't feel like that was a given last year.
And oh, no.
Yeah, well, there's always just this question of
yeah.
who are the other people? Do you know what I mean? It's this sense of, like, anything goes at Four Continents and Euros. That's really exciting.
Yeah. I'm not going to get into Four Continents because this has been happening now at the time of recording. Yeah,
it's clearly on our minds.
I'm not going to get into it because I have so much to say and I want to save it. But there is the unpredictability and those triumphant skates and those wild moments that you could not have dreamed of are what keeps me personally coming back. Because it's so easy to get jaded and be like, well, the scoring sucks and like there's bad people in the sport and I always know who's going to win and blah, 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 blah. But there is always like a story that just keeps me coming back. This is cheesy, but it's true.
No, it is. And I think that as much as like, maybe we're not getting that in the European ladies field this year, it's somewhere. It's always somewhere if you look for it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's always a story. There's always something that's exciting and fun and unpredictable. This is just really fun. Can you tell that I finished my drink by the end of this? Oh my god.
I just like skating.
I just really love skating, guys. It's just so fun.
Listen, guys, I don't know realistically if we're doing a plushie corner because I just don't feel like there was one. There was like, where were the plushies? I don't know.
I started taking notes. I was like, this is usually Megan's thing, but Megan's at nationals and I'm just going to do this thing. I opened up a note. I was like, so ready for it. And then like one person got a thing. It was in the men's short. I don't remember which one of them because I deleted the note because I gave up. But one of the boys got a frozen cushion with Elsa on it. And I was like, yeah, boy. It felt
nice.
Felt progressive, but it was also the only thing. Huh. Yeah, so it was not really happening, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a real bummer. Yeah, so that's Euros. And, you know, for something that started out as going to be a mini episode, it's really like a medium episode. Yeah. So we did good. We found things to talk about.
Of course we did.
Well,
guys, this is Euros. We have new reigning European champions. We are inching closer to Worlds, which is insane. But in the meantime, we're obviously going to cover four continents. It's still happening at the time of recording. We do have a lot to say about it. So stay tuned.
So much.
And also, we've been doing a lot of live tweeting. So if you are dying to know our particular opinions about things, you can find us on social media in the meantime. Megan, where are you?
I am at Megan Kelleher 3. That's MEGHANKELLEHER 3 on Twitter and Instagram. And where are you, Netta?
I'm at Netta Marie. That's NEDA and then just Marie. Everywhere on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow both of us at Iced Tea Pod, also everywhere. So find us at Iced Tea Pod on Twitter and Instagram and also Patreon. Our Patreon, like we said in the break, is patreon.com/IcedTeaPod. And you have 3 different tiers of chances to join us, get some more content, and help us make the show happen. Megan, who are some people who've already done that?
Here are these wonderful, amazing people who have already donated to Patreon and who you definitely want to hear your name amongst. Thank you very much to Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, Caitlin, Susan, Phoebe. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Daniil Gleichengaus, choreography number one stan, Joe, KM, and Samira.
Oh my god, thank you so much, guys. You are the best and my favorite. Don't tell the rest of them.
We just did, I think. Oopsies. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Come back for four continents. Bye.